Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello again, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve hanging out in the Sunbury Motor Studio again today. Don't forget tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I get a little lost. Tomorrow we'll have Penn State, Ohio State basketball tickets to give away for Thursday night's game. Be listening after 3 tomorrow for a chance to win those tickets. Again, that'll be for the Thursday night game at the Bryce Jordan Center. And no, there is no truth to the rumor that you get to sit next to Steve in the broadcast booth. Or I should actually, to be more, you know, correct, it would be the broadcast area. I don't think it's an official booth, is it, Steve? I think he quit.
I just want to see how long you're going to struggle. All right.
I knew you were there the whole time. I could hear you.
I just want to see how long you're going to struggle.
No, I was. Listen, I plan ahead now.
Oh, you do? Yeah. That was it?
Hey, I didn't say it was a great plan. I just said I planned ahead.
I see. Well, well done. Well done. Let's see. Numbers open 800-795-9565. Today, Mikayla Shiffrin will be on the show.
Actually, I did get in contact with the folks at
UNC. You're kidding.
I did.
I knew you would. Hey, could you get Bob Costas? I don't know if I can get her.
Right now, her schedule is very full, but we are on the list. I think I got blown off.
You probably did. Okay, they do know that she's in the witness protection program for the next 3.5 years, right?
Yeah, I think I got blown off. I used to get that same line from asking girls out
Me.
On a date. So, you know, and for about 5 years from you, come to think of it, that's true. You finally gave in.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to have Mike DeCourcy on today. Talking about about basketball. Later in the week, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, Jeff Byers, Penn State Wrestling, Chris Daubertine from Bracketology, Tim Neverett, Pirates play-by-play announcer from Bradenton. It's all later this week. I can tell you're excited. You all set? You okay there?
Listen, I'm just trying to learn Spanish after today.
Spanish?
Yes.
Why did Lawrence suddenly out of nowhere do the show from?
No.
From San Juan? What?
Well, I found through Mike Mescala's father actually the release from the release of Mike Mescala's release. From the Spanish team, but it had to be translated. And the translation program I used, I think, may have confused some words a little bit.
Wonderful. We also have a letter from the Russians, and it says flat out that Kevin's interpretation is wrong.
My interpretation of what?
You're on the verge of starting a war.
Of my interpretation of what?
The press release that the Spaniards put out.
Oh. Well, no, I just hit the translate button and figured
Arizona
that button was smarter than me.
Arizona has been warned. All right? The Super Bowl gets pulled if they go through with a bill called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The NFL has put it out in no uncertain terms. They are opposed. Our policies emphasize tolerance and inclusiveness and prohibit discrimination based on age, gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, or any other improper standards, said NFL spokesman Greg Aiello. We're following the issue in Arizona and will continue to do so. This will be played out in the next 5 days. Okay? Arizona has the Super Bowl in 2015 in Glendale. What this bill, I believe, says, let's give you an example. Okay? If a gay couple goes into a bakery and wants the bakery to make them a wedding cake, I believe under this law, if it were to pass in Arizona, the baker or proprietor could look at them and say, look, it's against my religion. I don't believe, based on religious reasons, in the gay lifestyle. Okay, as an example. And can turn down not doing the job. And this bill will allow that to happen. So Arizona is currently slated to host the Super Bowl. Opponents of the bill contend it will allow Arizona businesses to refuse service to homosexual customers. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm just giving you the generalization because obviously I don't have a full handle on the Arizona bill. Proponents of the bill claim that no businesses will have carte blanche to refuse service to anyone they disagree with based on religious grounds. Specifically, proponents claim that there is nothing in Arizona's current law that prevent businesses from discriminating against anyone. And yet, strangely enough, discrimination isn't happening. Apparently, businesses in Arizona have wanted to discriminate, but have been waiting for a bill to allow them to do so, which this bill does not. Also, what businesses would quietly wait, you know, what businesses would actually quietly wait to discriminate anyway?
But I think you're right. Right now it's on the, I think it's on the desk of Governor Jan Brewer, and she has to decide whether to sign it into law that would allow, basically allow business owners, as long as they assert their religious beliefs, that they could deny service to gay or lesbian, gay and lesbian customers.
Or any other reason. Business have to be why do you need the need a bill? Is it happening?
Well, if the bill happens and it becomes a law, the Super Bowl ain't happening.
No, no, they're pulling out of Arizona. They're pulling out of Arizona. They will be done with that. There will be no Super Bowl in Arizona if this bill is signed. I think it's the next 5 days. And honestly, I don't get the need for the bill at all. I don't understand why there's even a need. I mean, who came up with the concept? You know, I think we need to do this. Who came up with that idea? I don't know. So I don't blame the NFL for keeping a close eye on this one, because
But you know what, Steve? That goes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, that the International Olympic Committee didn't really do, and kind of stayed away from is making political statements or political comments based on the country that their Olympics are being held in. The NFL is definitely making a statement that if you want this Super Bowl, this is what we think needs to happen.
Well, the speech to start the Olympics that the from the head of the IOC was pretty direct about it. NBC cut part of it, but he didn't mince any words about it. And Bob Costas, to his credit, didn't mince any words when he was on the air in his commentary near the end of the Olympic
Games.
Yeah,
I did watch that interview in its entirety, actually.
So he didn't mince any words about it. But that is the issue where, in Arizona, and again, I gave a very general example. Although, based on how I've read the bill, my example was not that far off. You know, why would you make them a wedding cake but not us? As an example. And the NFL is a business. Has to make up its mind as to what they want to do. Now, this all also goes back to, I mean, there was one other time they threatened not to put the Super Bowl in Arizona, because I believe they were the last state to give a thumbs up to having Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And they had threatened to pull the Super Bowl out then. And it turned out they did pass it. Now, the argument against it, by the way, was, I remember what the argument was against it. It had nothing to do with Dr. King. The argument was, look, we already have so many state holidays now. So what they ended up doing is they ended up shifting President's Day out of the rotation and putting King Day in. I think that's what they ended up doing, which is what most states do now anyway. So is that the first time through? And we'll see what they do with it. And in light of Jason Collins playing this week, in light of Michael Sam's announcement and so forth, you know the NFL wants to stay on that path of openness. So, coming up bottom of the hour, today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Service and price means something to you. It means everything to them. I'm going to bring Mike DeCourcy and Sporting News Big Ten Network, talk about college basketball. Later, we're going to have Rick Pizzo on Big Ten Network. Chris Dobbertine, Bracketology, Jeff Byers, Tim Neverett. Jeff Byers on wrestling, Tim Neverett on the Pirates. As the week runs, Kevin's writing feverishly.
I've got Raiders cramp already.
Can I tweet this? I want to tweet this. I spell Pizzo. Iowa, by the way, banning its players from using Twitter rest of the season.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve is now taking his nap. That happens when you're as big. I mean, this whole move from Thursday night basketball instead of Thursday night coaches show, and then they moved it to Tuesday night. I mean, it's got the guy all messed up with his sleeping patterns. I feel bad for him. I mean, not to mention the fact that, you know, he stayed up late to watch the Olympics a couple of times. All right, you and I both know that that's not true. If you'd like to chime in, 800-795-9565 is the phone number.
I was responding to the FBI about some stalking thing dealing
There's
with.
There's no stalking anything. One contact, one email, one response, done.
First of many. They're just trying to be preemptive.
I'm sure that the email you sent right before warning that I was going to be asking for an interview really helped a lot, too. Thanks.
Whatever I can do to help. Mike DeCourcy is the basketball writer for the Sporting News and a longtime friend. I know you, of course, Kevin, don't believe that.
That you have longtime friends? Yes, yes. I just don't know that they admit that.
Well, they all seem pretty friendly on the show. You know? And the FBI hasn't called about stalking anybody. Just when it comes to you. So let's talk a little college basketball now. Mike, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing very well.
I think I'm going to say right now that I'm going to bet that I have gone longer between appearances on your show than any guest in your history. Because I'm pretty sure that I have not been on since I was in Pittsburgh, which would have been probably 24, 25 years ago. So I'm not to make either of us feel old, but I want to claim the record.
You go there and claim the record, and you know what? We'll shorten it up to maybe getting you on next month. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll do that because your insight's too valuable to take that long. How about that?
Sounds good.
I want to get, obviously, to not only the Boeheim situation, but the Big Ten situation last week. Boeheim, of course, at the end of the game, obviously crossed like five lines and got thrown out. He's out on the court. He's upset. Who knows what he said. The Big Ten had the incident on Wednesday night with Amir Williams, the kid from Northwestern, and then LaQuinton Ross. And then the next night, there are 133 free throw attempts in the Big Ten between Purdue, Michigan State, and Penn State, Nebraska. What are we seeing right now?
Oh, I read a very nice column that one of my colleagues wrote. I think we're trying to make a trend out of isolated incidents. There are 350 Division I basketball teams.
Yeah.
And so if we played them all on the same night, there'd be 170-some games.
Right.
So a few little things here and there. Look, first of all, what Boeheim did was totally contrived, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly wanted to make a statement, and people think he lost control. I don't think he lost any control at all. I think he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to be ejected. He wanted to make a statement. And the mistake he made was to not do that, but to make his point earlier in the game to try to turn whatever tide he felt was going against him. And there are a lot of teams that have been in a camera, and there's an intensified microscope on any call that goes against you in Cameron, because of the perception that Duke gets every call at their home building.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime a call goes against a coach who's there, he feels like, okay, this is the one that they said was going to happen. And of course, this was Jim's first time as a member of the ACC coaching in Cameron. I think it was the first time ever, but I know for sure, obviously, it was the first time in the ACC. And okay, that call came. And you know, there were others in the game that maybe could have gone a different way, but that was the one that he was waiting for, and when he got it, he was going to make a point.
Right.
And so I don't think that what happened with the Northwestern player against Ohio State and what happened with Jim Boeheim are even remotely related.
Well, you
take a swing at a guy, right, and you know that you do that, and that gets you ejected and puts you. You know, that not only did he have to miss a game, But you understand, if he does it again, he's gone for the year. Of course, there's not much of the year left.
Right.
But that's a pretty severe penalty to put yourself in, a pretty severe position to put yourself in. Boeheim didn't even get reprimanded for another game.
No. My point, though, is there was 133 free throw attempts in the Big Ten on Thursday night in two games.
I mean, that could have happened on any night,
though. Well,
I found it too coincidental. I sat in at the BTN studios over the weekend and watched, six to eight Big Ten games and didn't see anything different about those games.
I'll tell you, I have seen something different, though, in person. I'll tell you that, Mike. And that is the game that was called November 15th to December 15th is the same on the outside, but is now different down around the basket.
I would agree with you totally, Steve. I've been disappointed in the officials' willingness to retreat from the directives, maybe even eagerness to retreat from the directives of that came in. They're not even directives; they're rules. The rules are different now.
Right?
They're codified. You're not supposed to allow this. And officials, being creatures of habit and also looking for the least resistance, have allowed it to decline. It's a better game than it was a year ago because there's still things that are called, as you said, on the perimeter that weren't a year ago. Last week, I think we had our lowest scoring week of the season, and it was still a basket per team better than a year ago, which is 4 points better. But in November and December, we were up to close to 10 points split between the two teams. From a year ago, we were getting much better, and I'm disappointed in the officials, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I know how they work, and they, you know, they're just looking to get out of the gym. I mean, that's really the truth. They want to show up on time, they want to call the game, they want to get paid, and they want to get out of the gym. And there's not enough concern on their part for the quality of the game that they're officiating, and that comes from not being essentially employed by anyone.
Right.
They are independent contractors, and so they have no investment in the game. They have investment in their own careers, and there's not enough investment in the game. If they belong to either a league or the NCAA in general, then there would be an investment in that product. And I think that as long as it's structured this way, it's going to be hard to ever push the boulder all the way up the hill.
The Nebraska situation is an interesting one. I think it's obvious there are five Big Ten teams that are in great shape right now. Nebraska is on a roll, didn't play the greatest non-conference schedule. What is their path to getting in for the first time since 98, in your opinion?
They've got four more games left in the regular season. I think it's five more. Three of them are against low-level teams. The first group of games, up until the final game against Wisconsin, are against low-level teams in the league. They have to go to Illinois this week. They have to go to Indiana. And then ultimately they close with a game against Wisconsin at home.
Right.
And that will be a very important game for them. I don't know that they have to win it, but it certainly would be extremely helpful. And I think if they close with one loss over their closing stretch, I think that they would be in good shape. But I think that when you're looking at the particular circumstances, the better chance they would have would be to add another quality win. They just don't have – I mean, they've got three top 50 wins right now, 3-7.
Right.
And they have three plus 100 losses, which doesn't help either. So it would be really helpful to add to the Michigan State win, one against Wisconsin. And they've been just about as difficult to play at home as anybody in the league. Maybe as difficult as anybody. Because we've seen Ohio State lose at home. Obviously, Nittany Lions fans know that. Right. We've seen Michigan State lose at home. We've seen Michigan lose at home. Wisconsin's lost at home. But Nebraska hasn't dropped many. So that could be, you know, that fortress could be huge. But I also don't think they can afford to go on the road and lose to both Indiana and Illinois and really feel good about anything.
Exactly. Their one loss at home is by a point, and that was to Michigan. And I know the committee loves to see you go someplace and win. That going to Michigan State and win and winning is a huge plus for them, a check mark they needed.
Yeah, and they've got, they've still only got two road wins, which, you know, is not great, obviously. And mm-hmm. so they've got two road games against bottom teams. And NCAA, you know, as hard as it is, they've had to get on a lot of, you know, on quite a streak just to get to the point where they're even in this conversation. It's a lot to ask to say, hey, guys, I know you've won like seven in a row, but you have to keep winning. But that's the deal they created for themselves. Right. So they've got to go to Illinois. I think they have Purdue at home, if I remember right.
Right.
Actually,
they beat Purdue yesterday. They beat Purdue yesterday.
Yeah, they beat yesterday. So I think it's Penn State. Is that correct?
No, Penn State went there Thursday night.
Okay,
so
I'm
they're
trying
done
to remember
with that.
Who the other game is. But in any case, they have to go. They have one in between, and then they have to go to Indiana. And then they finish with that Wisconsin game. So they clearly have to do well on the road to catch people's attention. If they lost one of those and beat Wisconsin, then I think they'd be in pretty good shape going into the Big Ten tournament.
Obviously, Michigan and Michigan State, Michigan, the matchups mean a lot, and Michigan matches up well with Michigan State. In the end, though, once tournament play starts, and I don't mean the Big Ten tournament, I mean the NCAA tournament, what kind of impact can getting Brandon Dawson give Tom Izzo with a full lineup, which he has rarely had this year?
I think it helps because, I mean, yesterday there was a point at which they were in good shape, and Russell Bird came into the game because they had guys with fouls and they didn't have Brandon, and so they put Russell Bird in the game, and Michigan, to their credit, went at him three times in a row and scored all three times, and one of them might even have been an and one. They knew exactly what they had on the floor, and they attacked it each time. And I think it might have been with Stauskas once and LeVert another time. So it didn't matter who he was guarding; they went after him.
Right.
And if Dawson's healthy and on the floor, then Russell Bird does not get into the game. So you know that I think that's where he helps first. I think a better Keith Appling matters more than the presence of Brandon Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Appling's injury has hurt Michigan State more than anything this year, even more than Adrian Payne's absence.
Yeah.
Keith not being able to be Keith has been devastating to them. He is, when he's healthy, he's one of the best two-way point guards. He made himself into one of the best two-way point guards in the nation, and it's a shame that this is happening because a year ago he was a very good player but a poor point guard.
Right.
And
agreed.
And I talked to Tom in the summer, and he said he basically told Keith if he doesn't figure this thing out and learn how to be a passer and a distributor and a quarterback, then he's going to either not play or he's going to play another position, and they'll figure it out from there. But they're not going through another year where their offense doesn't run. So he comes back, and he's distributing the ball, and he's running the offense, and he's running the team, and he's guarding, and then he gets hurt. And that, you know, and they've never been quite the same team with him injured or out.
Well, the domino to me is when Harris has to do more, he's not as effective.
Yeah, he's had a lot of games where he's felt a lot of pressure,
yep.
And in those games he has really struggled.
Mike, what are your thoughts on on Wichita State? Because this is an undefeated team. They're there. They're going through a schedule that a lot of people would love to have and so forth, but they're also a team that was in the Final Four last year. What's your view on them?
I think only college fans can make what Wichita State is doing controversial.
I know.
I am just astounded. What they are doing
they are so
is
good.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're good. Really, really. Love the point guard. Love how they finish. Love how they play the game. And love how their coach, Greg Marshall, is really good.
Think about this. In 1991 was the last team that went into the NCAA tournament undefeated.
Right.
Okay, so there's been an average of about 330 teams over those 23 years. So I'm not the math whiz, but what's that, like 6,000 teams
right.
that have tried to do what Wichita State is doing?
Right.
And not one could do it, and yet somehow there are people out there that think that team does not deserve to be rewarded.
I know.
That's insanity. 6,000 teams.
Do you want to know why? Because
because college fans are the most jealous of all fans, because if you have something,
yep.
they need to have it.
Mm-hmm.
and they can't appreciate what you have. And that's, you know, I mean, that's just the way, and that's part of what makes our game fun. I mean, that it's hard, it's harder for a college fan to appreciate the greatness of another team or another program. You know, it was the same, it was similar when Gonzaga got a one seed last year, the same sniping, the same stuff.
Right.
And then they were celebrating when they lost, and who did they lose to? They lost to Wichita State.
Well, here's the fear most fans have. If they were in your league, they would be winning your league. All right. That's the fear. They're really good.
I think Tom Izzo on a radio show last week up in Michigan was presented with the concept of Wichita State as probably a sixth place team in the Big Ten.
No.
And he said he thought that was fair. And I said, when I read that, I said, yeah, it's fair, but it's wrong.
Right.
It wouldn't be sixth in anybody's league except maybe the NBA. No, they might not be sixth there. They might struggle to win a game up there. But in any college conference that we have, they would not be the sixth place team.
They would be probably one of the top three in almost any league.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And would they be undefeated?
No. No, of course not.
But they are undefeated. And anybody that would volunteer, I'm pretty sure I know the Shockers fans, any of the BCS conferences that wanted to volunteer to spend a year in the Valley going to Peoria and all that in order so that they could go to Stanford or to Wisconsin or to Florida, I'm sure they would gladly trade places. So, you know, the idea that they're getting some kind of extra special deal, they didn't, you know, this is what they have, but nobody, you know, if Kansas wanted to be in the Missouri Valley, I'm sure that the Valley would take them.
Yes, and not only that, I've been to Peoria twice, so really.
I've done
two games in my life in Peoria. You can have it.
Yes, but you've probably never been to Hattiesburg, so, you know.
No, not yet.
Yeah, I got you covered there.
You got me covered there. We'll trade Peoria versus Hattiesburg on a later show. Mike, always a pleasure, my friend. It's great to talk with you.
All right, Steve, thank you.
That's Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News and Big Ten Network. We'll come back, get Kevin's take, breakdown analysis from him in a moment. But today's show is brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance. Service and price means something to you, means everything to them. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Fabulous astute analysis. Thanks, Kev.
It's what I do.
Kratzer. Oh, that happened during the break? Oh, wow. I don't think we can recreate that.
That's all right.
All right. And you had everything down. You had the top four seeds in each bracket, which was really amazing.
Okay. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they play regular season games.
Why?
Yeah.
Because there are fewer by percentage. There is a lower percentage of teams that make the NCAA tournament and make the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and the Major League Baseball playoffs.
You know how I feel about these conference tournaments.
And the NFL playoffs. Okay? There are fewer percentage teams that make the NCAA tournament. One in five teams makes the NCAA tournament. Four out of five don't. I broadcast for 32 years now a team that needs its regular season in order to put itself in a position to be in. Thus, your statement is ridiculous.
So, now, are you going to let me defend it? Or is it just convenient that we're reaching the top of the hour and I don't get an opportunity?
Defend what?
I'll tell you why I said that in the next half hour.
Sorry, we don't have time.
See, I knew it.
Rick Pizzo is going to join us next half hour from the Big Ten Network.
That's it. I'm going to branch off. I'm getting my own show.
I mean, you want something to put on the podcast, and you interviewing some biathlete from Finland that we can't understand is just not going to cut it. You sure you want to do your own show?
I'm spinning off. That's it. I'm gone.
Wow. Well, that list of replacements is going to come in handy.